For everything there's a season, and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to harvest what's been planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I've seen the business that God has given to the sons of men to be busy with. He's made everything beautiful in its time. This being the first Sunday of the new year, I'd like to kind of continue a little with the theme that was presented at the table of looking back a bit and looking forward a bit. A time when we think of resolutions and priorities in looking ahead. So I'd like to talk about a couple firsts and priorities. First, I'd like to go to God in prayer. We've got lots to be thankful for. When you think, you know, there's stuff going on in this world. Just last Sunday, while you were worshiping here, you know, there was a church in Texas that was right after the Lord's table were experiencing violence and bloodshed right there in their assembly. We have a lot to be thankful for here. Please bow as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we bow in your presence once again, acknowledging you as our creator, as the giver of life and of all things good. We thank you so much for Jesus, and because of his sacrifice and putting us back on a right relationship with you, that we're able to approach you in prayer and talk to you and call you our Father. We thank you for adopting us as your children. We thank you for your mercy, your grace, the many manifestations of your love. We thank you again for the gift of Jesus into this world. As most of the world celebrated the gift of Jesus into this world just recently, we thank you for all that is good about this season. We thank you for our families, our loved ones, for the care and love that exists within our families, and we pray for a special blessing on those who are struggling with loss of loved ones. We thank you for the health and the strength that you bless us with. And we pray that you'll be with those who are afflicted with health problems. There's so many who are struggling with cancers and various other diseases and mental illness, mental health problems, depressions, anxieties. We pray that you'll bless them with healing and peace. We thank you for the relationships we have with one another. And we pray that you'll be with those who are dealing with strained and broken relationships. We pray for healing in relationships. We thank you for the employment that we have, enabling us to work and support ourselves and our families. We pray that you'll be with those who are looking for jobs, that have lost their jobs and are struggling financially. We pray for those who are in danger of losing their jobs because of various situations and plant closings and things. And we pray that you'll oversee these situations and help them. We thank you so much for the peace and the freedom that we enjoy in this land. And help us to never take it for granted and to be aware of those areas in the world where they don't enjoy such peace or freedom, areas where those in authority have no respect for you or for justice. We pray that you'll be with the rulers of the nations, that they will govern according to your authority. We pray that you'll oversee the various tense situations in the world, such as in Iran and Iraq and Syria, Afghanistan, North Korea, and Russia, and other places, and in the States. And we pray that, again, that you'll be with the authorities, that they'll govern with wisdom and respect for your authority. We thank you for the peace in Christ that we enjoy. And we pray that you'll be with those who don't know you and don't yet enjoy that peace that you provide, and help us to be instruments of your peace and helping others to find you, to find relationship with you in their lives, and to realize all of the blessings that comes with knowing you. We invite your presence and seek your blessing on this service here today. May all that is said and done be pleasing and acceptable to you. May we be encouraged and grow in our faith in you, our love for you, our love for one another. May you be glorified. We pray you'll bless this congregation in their efforts in this area. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like us to look for a minute at the reading that Andrew brought to us, especially the third and fourth verses of 1 Corinthians 15. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Notice, first importance, Paul tells us. And I just thought, okay, this is the first Sunday of the new year. Let's talk about a first. And Paul says, this is of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, he was buried and raised in accordance with the Scriptures. Why is that of first importance? Because everything hinges on those facts, that Jesus died for our sins, we've been redeemed from death by the one with power over death, which was proven by his resurrection from the dead. And notice too how it says in accordance with the scriptures. That's an important point. It all proves the authenticity, the accuracy of the scriptures. Jesus said it was going to happen. The prophets said it was going to happen. And then it did. Jesus said he would die and rise from the dead. Didn't seem to make sense to those who heard it. But Jesus said it would happen, and it happened in accordance with the scriptures. Jesus proved that the scriptures were accurate and that they had authority because he, with the power to rise from the dead, proved it. Another first. The first and greatest command from Mark 12. Jesus said, the first and greatest command, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, with your whole being. Relationship with our Creator is most important. You know, there's lots of commands in the Bible, but Jesus himself said that this was the most important, the biggie. We must give it priority in our lives. Why? Because Jesus said so. Jesus, the one with the authority, who proved it by rising from the dead. And Jesus also said, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consume, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So why are we to lay up our treasures in heaven and not on earth? Because if our treasures are on things on this earth, then, as it says, that's where our heart is. And if our heart's with earthly treasures, then how can we love God with all of our heart? It's an impossibility. So if our treasures are on earth, then to love God with all of your heart is impossible. And you thus fail on the first and greatest command. So it's game over. Lost. Relationship with our Creator must be priority one. It was like, this is 40 years ago now, Terry Fox did a lot to promote the cause for cancer research in our country, and he deserves a lot of credit and admiration for what he accomplished. And as horrible as cancer is, and as much as we all dread it and support research to beat it or to prevent it, you know, if Terry Fox could return to this life today, don't you think he'd probably be championing a new cause? A cause greater than the cure of cancer. Now, I'm not meaning to be judgmental of Terry Fox at all. I have no idea about his spirituality or relationship or not with God. I'm just saying that I'm sure that his cause, his message, would be about the urgency for a cure for sin, for a cure for what separates us from relationship with our Creator. Sort of like the story of the rich man and Lazarus there in Luke 16, when he gets to the other side and you see that spirituality, that relationship with God is far more important than anything else. For everything, there's a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. Birth and death are kind of the bookends of life. And in another way, we think of January 1st and December 31st as the bookends of any given year, with many events and circumstances and experiences, seasons, purposes taking place within the framework of each year. This past week, each of us probably did some, as we've said, some reflecting on the events of the past year, some anticipating of what the new year has in store for us. Good times, times not so good, times of joy, and times of sorrow, things that we did that we're proud of, and things that we did that we regret. Let's take a minute and think of something from the past year that you really enjoyed, a real good memory, say. Something that experience or something that was really fun or enjoyable. Something that you think back on that with, yeah, that was really good. You know, it may not be as good as rafting down the Colorado River in the Grand Canyon or something, as some of us, or some of Harold, got to do. But just think of something that you enjoyed this past year. It's a pleasant memory. And just enjoy that for a moment. But then also, can you remember anything? Or I guess it'd be something you don't want to remember. Something you'd rather forget about the past year. Something maybe you did that you regret. Something that you said that you wish you could take back. Maybe it's something that you have to say, like Paul, forgetting what lies behind, I press on toward the goal. Thank God for forgiveness. How about your relationship with God? Has it grown this past year? Do you feel closer to God maybe than you did a year ago? And with all of the fluctuations in our journeys of faith, hopefully with each experience of life, we grow stronger in our faith. The Apostle John began his book with, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus said to his followers, you're the light of the world. You think about it, that's really something. This world has so much darkness, yet Jesus came into the world, and he is the light of the world, and he calls his followers the light of the world. What an awesome privilege. What an awesome responsibility to be considered the light of the world. So it's our decision as to whether we're going to shine as lights in the darkness of the world or just add to the darkness. We have that responsibility as followers of Christ to shine, to let our light shine and overcome the darkness of the world. And regardless of whatever the past year brought, we have the new year ahead of us with opportunity to let our light shine before men, that they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Got a few minutes left. I was thinking of doing something here. A few years back, well, I was shocked to realize it was 40 years ago. It was Christmas night, and I won't say I was disillusioned, but I was kind of bummed out about some stuff a little bit, and I wrote a rhyme having to do with Christmas. One thing was that I was kind of bothered by the fact that, you know, the old thing you go through every once in a while in your life about the materialism of Christmas and or those who only get religious at Christmas time and you know, they leave the baby in the manger and have nothing to do with them the rest of the year. Anyway, so I started to write this rhyme, and it just got longer, and I just kept writing, and it just got longer and longer. And I got into some current events of the time. So I thought what I'd do is try to present that now. That poem, it's about 3 minutes long. When I did it, I don't know if any of you may have heard it before, but it, like I say, it was 40 years ago. So I got into some current events at that time. I mentioned Terry Fox. He was still running in December of 1980. Our prime minister was named Trudeau, but not Justin. Reagan was the president of the United States. Interestingly, they were having problems with Iran, serious problems. There were some Americans had been taken hostage and were being held in Iran, and that was a real tense situation. And now here we are right now undergoing some tensions with Iran again. John Lennon had just been shot earlier that month, and there were candlelight vigils for him all over the place and a lot of crying and things. The Ku Klux Klan were still doing their bad things and in the news. There was a movie out called The Black Hole, which had something to do with deep recesses of space or something, that was quite popular right then. Anyway, and the interestingly, the poem, like I said, it might seem like I'm down on Christmas, but I'm not really. It got published in the Gospel Herald at the time, and the editor of the Gospel Herald contacted me after that. They got two complaints about the poem. Interestingly, one complaint was that I was being too sacrilegious about Christmas, and the other was that I was honoring Christmas too much. So, like, it's... you can't please everybody, obviously. So anyway, just sit back and we'll take a 3.5-minute stroll down memory lane for those of you who are over 40. If you're under 40, I guess it'd be kind of a history lesson or something. It's called A Piece of Christmas, with a play on the word peace. And I didn't bring it with me, so it hopefully is in my head. If it all of a sudden stops, then it's gone. Oh well, there we go. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. Praise God, it's Christmas time again. We buy our gifts, we bring good cheer. A birthday party at the end of the year. The shepherds watched their flocks that night when suddenly their souls were filled with fright. Fear not, said a voice, I bring good news, and to all the earth, not to just you Jews. An angel they saw in the glory of God, announcing a birth, while the shepherds stood awed. In the city of David, a Savior is born. The world no longer need feel forlorn, singing glory to God, the highest on high. Let the earth give forth her joyful cry. In a feeding trough, you'll find a child, cared for by his mother, tender and mild. Good news, they said. But what do they mean? A newborn baby, pure and clean, brings peace on earth. But how can that be, just a baby each year in the nativity? Now, I like Christmas as well as the next, though the shopping always gets me vexed, but the joyful carols that we sing, and all the food and presents my relatives bring, it's a time of good cheer, no doubt about it, and Santa is real, I'll loudly shout it, I see him each year in many a store, there are hundreds of him, and maybe more, but Santa doesn't seem to bring peace on earth. Nor does the babe of the Bethlehem birth. Each year we celebrate the newborn child, but the peace on earth is more like wild. Nations still quarrel, men still fight, both sides claim to be in the right. People still kill, men still hate. If peace is coming, it's arriving too late. The poor get poorer. What can be done? Is wealth the result if a war is won? Crime's on the increase. Inflation is high. It's true, the high cost of just getting by. Everyone nowadays stands on his right. Give me my share and more, or I'll fight. I don't care about you and your worry. I'm taking what's mine, and I'm in a hurry. Get out of my way, you crippled and old. No one gets hurt if you do what you're told, and I do the telling, because I'm number one. Right now, anyway, because I hold the gun. Tell me, just where is justice in life? Where's peace amid all this struggle and strife? Where's that baby, the good news on earth? Where's all our joy and gladness and mirth? Say, baby Jesus, you're not getting through. There's war in Iraq, unrest in Peru, Afghanistan's taken. Next, it's the Poles. The Russians are coming. We're seeking black holes. The hostages sit and ponder their lot. We continue to pray for the freedom we've got. Italy crumbles, the death of a nation resulting from earthquakes, great devastation. Canada fights with itself to stay one. Unilateral patriation. Pierre's on the run. Terry Fox is still going, but so are the diseases. Cancer keeps killing whomever it pleases. Carter's out, Reagan's in, the Klan still preaches its deadly sin, hatred still grows, the job's not done, John Lennon is dead, some nut with a gun. The world is in tears, everywhere crying, no let up from pain, sadness, dying, hardship, sorrow, starvation, despair, selfishness, prejudice, sin everywhere. What's with the baby, the one they called Lord, whom the angelic chorus with one accord called peace on earth, goodwill to men? Will that song ever ring true again? It seems the answer does not lie in a manger, with a virgin nearby, nor the star in the east, nor the wise men there, nor in the frankincense or gold they bear. The answer appears some 30 years later. Behold, the Lamb of God. No one is greater. He leads, he listens, he loves, he cares. He's God in the flesh. His glory he shares. He healed the sick, raised the dead, bore a cross, wore thorns on his head, the mocking, the whip, denied with a lie, nailed between thieves and left there to die. The angry mob hated the one who is love. They refused to believe he had come from above. Soon dead, he was buried in a borrowed tomb just 30-some years from the virgin's womb. 3 days later comes proof of his word. The stone rolls away. Again, angels are heard. He's not here, the ladies are told. You'll find no body, lifeless and cold. Why seek the living among the dead? Christ arose. The good news must be spread. God's power defeated the devil and sin. Death has been conquered. Life has come in. Jesus Christ, the good shepherd is, bestows his grace on all who are his. He's the way, the truth, the life. He's the answer to problems and strife. But not as a baby left in the hay, unable to talk, much less show the way, but as God become flesh, who died and arose, with heavenly peace to bestow and disclose. If all men would heed what the Master taught, the battles are won, though no wars need be fought, if we just heed his teaching, so simple, so true, to treat others just as you wish they treat you. To God be the glory, great things he has done. He loves us so much, he gave us his Son. Yes, peace on earth, goodwill to men, forever and every endeavor. Amen. Now may God's presence bless you with his divine peace in this new year. Thank you.